after drinking living water was to worship God acceptably. Worship God acceptably. She wanted to know how to worship God acceptably. There's so many different expressions of worship within the Christian community today. But God has set down some guidelines for us to follow in worshiping Him acceptably. Worship was never something man could decide on how to approach God with. All throughout the Old Testament, worship was prescribed by God. Amen. The way the ark was to be transported was prescribed by God. Holy things were prescribed by God how to approach them and give due reverence to them. Man-made worship is not acceptable unto God. It may look good to other people, but worship is not for impressing people. It's for God and God alone. There's a lot of Christian music that is not worship of God. It's nothing wrong with it, but it's not under the heading of worship. You couldn't call it worship music. Can you say amen? It's good music, and even when you sing about the joys of going to heaven, that's your song and your faith being expressed in music, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't worship the Lord. Worship is directed to God and God alone. It's not for you, even. It's not even for me to get the high I get, and I always get lifted up when I lift Him up. And I enjoy getting lifted up. But I don't have to get a buzz, a Holy Ghost buzz. Some of you don't know what buzz means, but it's not anything to do with the bees. Can you say amen? How many were lost before you got saved? Amen. The Holy Ghost can literally lift you up. And when I lift the Lord up and I feel His presence, I get lifted up. But you know what the danger is? That I'll get so addicted to getting lifted up that I will begin to sing songs just to get the feeling I get from Him when I sing them, rather than to give Him really what He deserves. You understand where I'm coming from? There's nothing wrong with a desire for His presence. I want His presence. It makes me feel wonderful when He touches me. Amen. We used to sing that song, He Touched Me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my... Doesn't it fill your soul? Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Amen. I love that song because when He touches me, oh, hallelujah. And then my pastor used to get up and sing. And this one used to get me going. I mean, this turned my honey bucket over on Sunday morning. He'd begin to sing, glory, 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 somebody touched me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of my Lord. And then you go into the verses, and the verses were absolutely unlimited while I was singing. Somebody while I was praying, while I was reading, while I was kneeling, while I was shouting. See, you can just go on and on and on and on while I was driving. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, it can go on and on. But the issue was when, you know, we realize God is here, we can receive a touch from Him. But the danger was that we would get so addicted to this spiritual rush of His touch that we take worship from the reverence that is due God. And when we didn't get the touch, we sit there like a bump on the log and didn't know what to do. So somebody better crank something up, hit a high C on the Hammond. Can you say amen? Or do something to get us loosened up so we could feel that touch. Ah. And this is just a witness. That's nothing. This is a witness. This is a witness. Praise God. See, the touch is so powerful when it comes. Amen. It touches you. It touches me. Touches people in the audience. God is here. God is in this place. The danger is the addiction to the touch. And once we get addicted to getting touched, we look for every service to be replicated. So worship is only really validated and verified in us. We don't feel like we've worshiped unless we get the touch. And that get part is the danger zone. God still wants to touch us, don't get me wrong. But worship is not what I get out of the service. It's what I come to give my God. Can you say, well, worship is for the Lord. Amen. And while I don't want to be in one of those dead services, just filled with you know, all of the traditions of man, to the degree that, you know, man makes up all kinds of things they think is going to please God. Some people think if they can build a big steeple, amen, that is high into the heavens, and a big edifice, and we need a nice place to worship in, amen. God, I don't think we should let God's house be run down, amen. I think it should be kept up. But if we think we're going to impress Him with something we can build on this planet instead of something we offer Him from our heart, we're missing the whole concept of God. You know what God said concerning, and this really pertains to worship. He said, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Can you say amen? Can you imagine? He's trying to, now He's bigger than that, but He wants you to get a mental picture, amen, of how great God really is. He said, the heavens is where I sit, and I rest my feet upon the earth like a footstool. Amen. That's a big God. Can you say amen? Then He asked the pointed question and poignant question. Where is the house that you'll build to glorify me? Where's the house? What can, if I'm really this great, what can you build me to honor me on the place that I use as a footstool? Amen. Where's the house for me you're going to build? A lot of things that we call houses of God or for God are really for man and to glorify what man is able to accomplish. And we're trying to say that God is impressed with it. Listen to the next thing He says. He says, but to whom shall I look? Where am I going to look for a dwelling place? Where am I? If you can't build a house to impress me, where am I going to look? Even to him that is of a humble and contrite spirit that trembleth at my word. Someone who reverences me, I'm going to indwell. Can you say amen? Someone who reverences me. Amen. It's not what you build for me, it's what you are for me. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? I mean, there's a church down in South Florida in Dade County, true story, amen, and they were, when they were building their church, the pastor of the church asked the contractor to go into the archives and find out every church in town's steeple height, because the contractor wanted to know how tall do we build this spire, this steeple on your church. Well, he said, instead of just giving him a number that would be, you know, cosmetically nice in relation to the church, you know, he just said, I want you to go into the archives, find out what is the highest steeple in the city, and we want our steeple 6 foot higher. Now, don't you know God is going to be impressed when somebody's wanting to say, our steeple, the sphere that we've raised, is taller than anybody else's. Oh, and you think it just touches some of those kind of churches. Well, in the gospel healing movement back in the 50s and 60s, amen. There was, and this is a true story, was published in the Evangelist, one of the magazines of the day. One of the healing ministers had a tremendous healing anointing and went forth in tents, and another was raised up going forth in tents. And one of them said, we have the largest gospel tent in the world. Amen. Just made a statement. And the other one heard about it and sent his guys over to that tent after the service was over to measure it, and found it to be several feet smaller than his tent. And then he printed in this magazine. And don't you know God is sitting in his heaven saying, dear Lord, both of you have a healing ministry. Both of you are supposed to have a vision for the souls of men, not who's got the biggest ministry. Can you say amen? We see it in today coming into our modern, postmodern church world, where there are certain ministries, certain things that you possess in your ministry give you immediate status with other ministries. And when we acquire this and we acquire that, it means we have arrived at a particular status. And all of this doesn't bring honor to God. Can you say amen? To whom will I look, he says? Him that is of a humble and contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word. Real worship of God and service to God begins with reverence for God. Not something that exalts you and exalts me. If you're here for the rush and the rush alone, eventually you won't get the rush. Then what are you going to give God while you're waiting for the rush? What does God do whether you feel anything or not this morning? What does God do whether you feel anything or not? What does God deserve whether you feel anything or not? What does God deserve? What does Christ deserve for hanging on the cross for you? Whether you feel good, whether you feel bad, what does He deserve? Does He deserve any less because I come in not feeling the rush? I just got to be cautious. I want the rush. I need the touch. We may sing, He touched me again before we leave here today. He may touch us again before we leave here today. I want the touch because I love the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we get so busy, my wife and I hardly touch. And we just get too busy. Amen. I love to see people sitting close together. I love to see that man and that woman with their shoulder touching right now. That's good stuff. How long y'all been married? 23 years, and they're still touching. We put the chairs close together, kind of encourage that, but they're still touching. And I love to see this man and this woman sitting here. Look at here. You couldn't put a paper down through that. I mean, you know, a piece of computer. I love to see them touching today. Amen. George and Patty are almost there. We can scoot. We can. Hey, they're playing footsies down here. There is a barefoot under his leg. I knew they were touching. I knew it. Hallelujah. My wife just touched me. Amen. But yesterday, my wife wore those non-shopping shoes in a place we went after the funeral and to pick up some decorations for fall. And she wore those non-shopping. You know the non-shopping shoes? Amen. That's why Patty's barefooted right now. It's not, they're just to walk in the church, not to really walk around anywhere when you leave. Amen. You need tennis shoes for shopping. You need something casual. You need those Crocs. Crocs, they call them. Amen. Something. Anyway, but anyway, she said, you know, steady me. You know, and she put my, goes walking and things after a while. But she put her arm in my arm, and I thought it's been a long time, amen, since we've walked arm in arm. But it felt so good to walk on. I love God's touch. I love His touch. Amen. I want His touch. I'm Pentecostal. I grew up on God's touch. I live for God's touch. I needed God's touch. But when you grow in the Lord, you realize that He's calling me to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's calling me to keep Him valued above what I get out of it. Amen. After a while, it comes to the point, Dale, that, you know, there were times if I was in a church service like I was where people are worshiping God in a way that you can't get that touch, you don't have that kind of freedom, amen, that I can still give God something, even in that context. I know I'm not going to be able to shout or run the aisle or, amen, be as expressive as I am here, amen, and I encourage people to be expressive, and God does too, but, amen, there's a danger in just wanting the touch and not understanding that God deserves, amen, to be worshiped and reverenced and praised because, number one, of who He is, and number two, what He's done in Jesus Christ for you and me. Amen. I'm learning that it's better to give than receive, even in worship. It's better to give God glory than to receive His touch. But I've also learned that if I give Him the glory that's due Him, He always touches me. Can you say amen? I can come in down, and if I determine and I begin to override my emotions and worship God anyhow, before long I start feeling His touch, which is simply His presence being realized. Amen? Something about glorifying Him. Get your mind off of you. Get your focus on Him. When you get your mind off of you and your focus on Him, He can touch you. And He will touch you. He doesn't withhold His touch from you. He loves to manifest His presence to His people. But He wants us to be a people of worship and praise that are going to give Him more than just something to get something. We're going to give Him something because we've got something. And the something we have is more than a touch. It's Christ and Him crucified. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Do you understand how that works? I don't want to ever give up the touch. I love it. I want it. Every time, you know, I don't want to ever say, let's forget about feeling God. Let's just don't be touchy-feely. Let's just give Him honor and give Him glory. Amen. Honey, there's way more to this, amen, than just that. He wants to bless us, but let's give Him honor and let's give Him glory. The woman at the well asked Him about worship, and she said in verse 19, the woman saith unto Him, Sir, I perceive that Thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. She was Samaritan. They had a place of worship in a mountain. They worshipped, they know not what, but they had a heart to worship. They said, this is the place to do it. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know what that means? You could be on a tour in Jerusalem right now. You could be standing on the Mount of Olives. You could be standing where they say the tomb was, or you could be standing near Golgotha. You could be standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. You could be standing on the banks of the Jordan River. And just because you were there doesn't mean that God will accept your worship. The there He wants to bring you to is a place in your life and a place in your heart where you reverence His presence within you. Amen. The hour cometh and now is. It's important to recognize now is. This is changing. When true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Why in spirit? The next verse explains it. Because God is a spirit. God is a spirit. You've got to worship Him in spirit because He is spirit. Amen? Amen? God is a spirit. So you've got to worship Him in spirit. In essence, deep calls to deep. It takes something from the inward man to be qualified as the true worship of God. Hello? Not all of this outer expression. Outer expression without the inward is unacceptable to God. Absolutely unacceptable. You can dance because you're getting the spiritual buzz, but that's not what David did. David danced before whom? The Lord. It wasn't for David. It sure wasn't for all the people onlooking because his wife was so ashamed of him. But he said, this is not for man. This is for God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So it wasn't the dance, it was the heart attitude of overflowing, overwhelming joy. He expressed what was in his heart physically, but it wasn't the physical part, it was the spiritual part of that became acceptable. Amen? I've seen people just live together. I was addicted to the touch of God and that rush. Mad when someone was sitting in their place where they usually sat at church. I knew a young man that just sought touches all his life. He finally backslid because when he didn't get a touch, he didn't know what to do. He had no real value for God. You'd think he was the most spiritual man you ever met, the hungriest spiritual guy you ever seen. But I watched his life backslide, shipwrecked, and self-destruct because he would go to a revival meeting. If he got touched sitting in a particular place, he felt like that's where God was pouring it out, right there. And he would come in and he would literally ask someone to move and say, that's my seat. Now, the last thing I want here, amen, and we all have a place we like here, but if a visitor has to be sitting in the place that you like, I want you to understand that God can actually touch you over here.
Yes, amen.
Can you say amen? A God this big can find you. I mean, he won't say, I was going to touch her, but where is she? And who is this? And you're sitting over there saying, I'm here. I'm right over here. Listen, God knows where you are. It's not a location in a church that God anoints. Amen. His presence fills the universe. Can you say amen? I'm sure His presence is filled in this little room.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. But he got that addicted to the touch. And he actually thought, I was sitting here when the power hit me Sunday night. Monday night at the revival, I'm going to sit right in that chair. And he would say, excuse me, that's my chair. Well, it isn't his chair. And that's not your chair. Amen. And what a narrow concept of God. We looked at some people's hunger and we thought they were spiritual. And really they were pouring it on their self for the feeling. And when the feeling didn't come, there was no substance left. There's no substance left. No substance. The worship of God, someone said, the true worship of God is conspicuous for its absence of self. After a while, you get past yourself, and beside yourself, and what you're offering is for God and God alone. Everybody say God and God alone. But the good news is, I love that song that Truth, a singing group called Truth, used to sing. We get lifted up when we praise His name. But we don't praise His name to get lifted up. We praise His name because His name is worthy of praise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we're in a service and we don't feel that lift, we're going to praise His name anyhow because it's lost none of its value, none of its worth. Can you say amen? And you know what praising Him anyhow is going to do? It's going to begin to change your circumstances even when you can't find Him or feel Him. I challenge you today to bless the Lord at all times and let His praise be continually in your mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Whoso offereth praise, he said in Psalm 50, the last two verses, glorifieth me, and to him that orders his conversation aright, I will sow the salvation. In other words, the deliverance of God will come to the person who will praise him because he's worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll show him my salvation. Can you say amen? And then he said in Psalm 50 concerning worship from a thankful heart, amen, and call upon me in the time of trouble and I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Can you say amen? But worship precedes that deliverance. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. It was not while they were praying and making petition. It's while they were worshiping reverently that God shook the prison and set them free. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. There's power in this. True worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth. They're not just in it for themselves. They value Him. What is worship? What is it anyway? Our word worship came from an old English word, worship. We ascribe ultimate worth and worthiness to the one we worship. Someone said he's worthy of the honor we bestow upon him. We find biblical support all over the Bible. I'm just going to pull a few verses real quickly and run them by you. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of you and your will they existed and were created. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood for men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Revelation 5:9. Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. In all of the praise and worship of heaven, there's a word that keeps reoccurring. What's that word? Worthy. The core of worship itself is giving worth. The value we place upon one who would come to this earth and lay, not just one, not just anyone, not just a man, but God that would come to the earth. God that would become man and go to the cross. Ponder the thought, God dying for you. Jesus was God incarnate, God in flesh. That God would die for you should blow you away and give you food for worship, reason to worship. Can you say amen? Because you see worship not as just something to get for you, but something to give to God that will give Him the honor that's due Him. Hallelujah. How valuable is it to you that a king would bleed and die for you? Take your place, your sins. What's it worth? You show that worth by how you worship Him. Can you say amen? The Creator is worthy of all praise and honor. He willed everything into existence. Jesus Christ is worthy of all honor and glory. He is the slain, resurrected, ascended, reigning Lord. Who can compare to Him? The mention scenes end with the words, all the elders fell down and worshiped. Revelation 5:14. At a bare minimum, worship is the act of paying homage and giving honor to the one worthy of such adoration. The word translated worthy also stands for our word axiom. An axiom is a self-evident truth. To all believers, it is self-evident axiomatic that God is worthy of praise and honor. If God is the God of the universe and the God of glory and the God who loved us enough to come down and die for us, it's an axiom. Self-evident, he deserves our very best praise and reverence and worship and honor. Can you say amen? If he's the God we proclaim him to be, amen, we can't just say it and biblically support it. We have to live it.
Yes, amen.
And express it when we worship. And this mundane, if I don't feel God or if I've had a bad week, I'm not going to give him nothing on Sunday, has got to stop. He's worthy no matter what kind of week we've had. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Sometimes I get so angry at my flesh. Sometimes I have to sit my flesh down and say, you're not going to get the poor old me's when it comes time to worship God. No, you're not. I'm not going to give that place of flesh in my life. I say no to a lot of things that my flesh wants. Amen. And one of the things I say no to, amen, constantly and most heartily, amen, is you're not going to keep me from, you're not going to hold me back from worshiping God. You're not going to get me thinking about who said this, who did this, why did this happen? I'm going through this. No, God gave his son for me. What I've went through, what I'm going through will change. But what he did on the cross is constant. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Every Christian knows in his heart or her heart that Jesus deserves our worship. He alone is worthy. This is not self-evident to those who deny Christ because they honor other gods. The world doesn't understand it because they don't hold God or Christ in that place of worship. But this is not for the world. This is for you and me in the kingdom of God. Some have felt that the coming to a church service, I like this statement I'm going to read to you today. Some have felt that coming to a church service is similar to going to a theater. The platform is a stage upon which the preacher, the musicians, the scripture readers, etc., are performing before the congregation. The congregation is the audience that can then show their approval by how much they leave in an offering plate or how much they applaud. In truth, however, the preacher, musicians, scripture readers, etc., are simply the promoters of the congregation who are the ones that are on stage. And it is God himself who is the audience of their worship. You're not watching television broadcast from your easy chair, and the stage is that platform, and you're just being entertained by it. God is watching you when his name is exalted and how you respond. God is the audience of worship, not the congregation. God is the audience of worship. God is looking upon every heart in this room, mine, yours. And he knows already, amen, which ones need to be corrected and which ones are pure. And he wants all our hearts to come into agreement about this worship thing. Because true worshipers worship him who is a spirit in spirit and in truth. Can you say amen? In absolute reality, not in sham or put on. Nobody is fronting when we worship God. Can you say amen? I see preachers who through the worship service don't do anything, but when they get behind the pulpit, suddenly they come alive like a light bulb's been flipped on. And I thought that life needs to last after the pulpit anointing. There needs to be something in the man or woman's life that goes beyond the pulpit. I've seen singers that can flip it on. Darlene, what's her name that sings with Hillsong? Darlene. She said, we do so many concerts, and everyone expects us to be demonstrative during those concerts. Because we're singing songs that are so uplifting and so exalting of the Lord. She said, I have to pray diligently, earnestly, not to fall into the trap of performing. Because there's certain expectations when you come into a building and they know you're a praise team or a praise group. She said, I really want to stay focused on Jesus. I really want to exalt Him in my heart, not just sing to an audience. I want to bring people into worship with me rather than perform for them and get their applause. And she said, when you're doing a whole lot of concerts, there's a danger. And I feel the danger. In other words, I feel the pull just to perform. And I don't want that. And I think we in Christian leadership need to encourage true worship, because God seeketh such. God is the one it's for. And the thing about it is, if you brought something here to give God this morning, amen, with no other motive but to glorify Him and show His worth, when you walk out that door and you have to make those decisions between sin or what Jesus said, and you value Jesus enough to say no to sin and yes to Him, amen, you're going to get victory when you go through those doors. And you can live a life that represents those values that you worshiped with. Can you say amen? And the songs become more than words on a page. And the people singing up here become more than just singers. They're just promoters that help you to move into worship. And these people up here are not just performing. They're worshiping their God. And God is the audience. Yeah. It's what people love about the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. They sing good, but they are not so much better than other choirs. What gives them credibility is the testimony of the people doing the singing. They've been delivered and set free, and they're living those lives that represent that freedom. And what they sing, they live. There's a difference. Nobody can sing the blues like somebody that's been through the mill. Nobody can sing the high praises of God like somebody that's... Nobody can sing like a soul that has been set free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. A lot of people can sing better, but not from the heart. And it's the stuff from the heart that is so powerful. Hallelujah. Someone has said, I read this last week, but I'm going to read it again. There's something in us, something spiritual, something innate, something God created you with, which cries out to worship the Creator. The world will pervert it if it can, but the void of our heart will never be filled until we become true worshipers. This is my desire, this man says. I want to be a true worshiper. I want to move out of my selfish awareness of my wants and into the spiritual realm of God's presence. I want to worship Him, and I want to be changed by that experience. True worship liberates us and changes us. True worship brings us closer to the one whose image we bear. In worship, the concrete floor beneath our feet truly becomes holy ground. In worship, truth becomes a person and lives in our hearts, setting us free from the loneliness and search for significance. In worship, truth becomes a person. Truth becomes a person. Truth becomes, what did Jesus say? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. They asked Him, what is truth? He said, I am the truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just finish this by saying worship is for God alone. We get blessed by it, but worship is for God alone. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, it's a spiritual sacrifice. Everybody say a spiritual sacrifice. When we were on television, Dale may still have she made me a copy of one of our old TV broadcasts. It's amazing to see the transformation. When we're going to worship God on television, I mean, if it's really for God, how you come over is not the big issue. It's whether we worship from the heart and spiritually and convince people that we really value God. We shouldn't really worship Him. Isn't it amazing how television changes people when you know other people are going to be judging how you look, when the issue is supposed to be showing them Jesus? We went 3 times, once to Channel 8, twice to Channel 13, their morning church, so we didn't have our own broadcast. This is a freebie to churches in the area for morning devotionals on Sunday. I had a guy that played piano for us, was going to play piano for us in this one time. Our pianist, young man, I drove up. I was ready for the sermon and everything, and everybody was getting out. Of course, ladies' hairs had been changed. Things were beginning to happen to hairdos. And beehives were higher back in the beehive day, way up here like this. And, you know, there was all kinds of things going on. People look different for TV. You know, we're going to worship God on television. People are going to see us worship God. Let's make sure they see us like we really are. Can you say amen? And so all this, see, worship can get so easily pushed aside. Amen. So we're going on television. So here comes a guy out of the car, gets out of his car. He comes around the corner. I'm getting ready to go in the television station. And even from a distance, I see that this young man, very virile young man, has on bright red lipstick. And he's coming and I'm looking at him. You know, I'm speechless. I'm beside myself. I mean, this man is wearing bright red lipstick. And I'm looking at brighter than anybody's in here. Amen. Bright red. I'm talking about candy, apple. Yeah, back then the lady's afraid to wear it. Be labeled Jezebel's. Amen. And here's a man with bright red lipstick. And he's coming around the corner and he notices that I'm transfixed. I'm speechless. You know me, I'm rarely speechless. And I'm looking at him. And he says, Brother Venable, have you ever been on television before? And I said, we were on one time. He said, well, listen, he said, television, and this was before color. You know, this is way back, I guess it might have been color. Anyway, it was color, but we didn't have color set, so we were still in the black and white age. But anyway, he said, television cameras wash you out. He said, your features are blurred. And he said, I'm doing this so it will give definition to my lips. And I thought, you're going to play the piano and you want people to see your big red lips. You're going to be praying the high praise of God. Well, I didn't want to get into an argument at the time, but he said, would you like some? And he pulled out a tube of red lipstick. I said, no, sir, no, that's fine. You know, let me be blurred, let him be exalted. That's okay with me. Amen. It's not about me, it's about him. But I didn't have time to argue, but it just blew me away. The consciousness. And then several of there was going to be a musical thing that happened. Not with the singers, but just with the musicians. We're going to play this great tune, and this one song was going to be brought, not by the choir, but otherwise. And it came time for that. And they practiced all week, and they got ready, and they were going to knock them dead. Not God, who is the true audience of worship, but the television audience. What they should have seen on television is not us performing for them. They should see us worshiping our God. It might look silly to some, funny to some. Amen. I've always loved choirs. Amen. They didn't just stand there and sing these great hymns and these great tunes with stoic, straight faces. I love to see those choirs that get lost in worship. Amen. That close their eyes and turn their faces to heaven, because you know they're giving it to God. They're not performing to the audience or to the camera. They're giving this to God. Worship is for God. It's God's stuff. And it's not the place, it's the person that God is looking at. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And if we worship him right here, this ground will come as holy as any place in Jerusalem.
Yes, it does.
And if you worship in your car, that car will become as holy as any place in Jerusalem. Amen. If you worship in your home, that home will become holy as any place in Jerusalem. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They practiced all week and they were good musicians. The only thing is, my son, who is excellent on a guitar, he is good on a guitar. He plays by ear. God gave him a gift and he's good at it. He started the song in the wrong key.
He didn't admit it for years later.
No, he finally had to admit it. He started the song in the wrong key and they started in the other key. And he played in his key, and the pianist played in another key, and they sang somewhere in between the two keys. And if there was a dog in Hillsborough County, I guarantee you he would have been howling at that song. And I think not only was the dog howling, I think God was getting a kick out of it. Because this clearly wasn't for him. So he just let it take its course. Can you say amen? And I came on and had to bring a message after that catastrophe. The red lipstick on the pianist, the song that was played off key, and here I'm going to, and I brought a message, and God anointed it. And I am convinced the anointing breaks the yoke. Can you say amen? I'm a believer that the anointing will pull you out of the deepest hole that you can dig for yourself. If God can move in spite of all of that, hallelujah, amen. He's God. Can you say amen? And He is God because He did. But listen to me. It was so distracting. We can get into tangents. Get into tangents. I love the story. I've told it so many times. I'm going to tell it again. I hope I can remember it all right. Movie out there, remake of an old black and white movie called The Preacher's Wife. Do you know who starred in that? Wasn't Denzel, was it? Was he? Denzel Washington? Who was the wife? Denzel, was it? Whitney Houston. You know who directed that movie, according to Newsweek or Time, or one of the major periodicals when the movie came out? Penny Marshall.
Yeah, Laverne and Shirley.
She directed the movie. Well, they got a legitimate choir. They didn't hire actors. They got a real church choir to sing. Brought them into the movie set. Now, this is according to, I think it was Premier Magazine that has all these things about movies, you know, in it. No, it could have been Newsweek. One of these major periodicals. So they brought them in to sing. And Whitney Houston is standing there by the director, Penny Marshall. And Whitney has a background. You know, a lot of these actors, and particularly a lot of these singers, pop singers, soul singers, you know where they got their start?
Yeah.
They got it singing the praises of God. Amen. And they decided that singing, amen, in Las Vegas and singing in Nashville, amen, brought in more glory to themselves. See, people that are in it for the wrong reason can just, they can cross right over so easy into the pop world. Can you say amen and get addicted to the fame and the fortune? But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing better than worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not as an entertainer, but to lead others into worship. I've never agreed with the commercialization of worship music. I don't believe it's man's to sell. I don't believe this ministry is mine to sell. Amen. You give offerings as God leads you, or you hold them back. I start to say as God leads you, but He'd never lead you to do that. But anyway, amen. You're going to give or not give, and that's entirely up to you, but I'm going to preach anyhow. I'm going to preach my best anyhow. I'm not going to wait to count it to preach. Because what I'm doing is for the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Because I'm called and anointed. And there is no price on this thing. You couldn't buy one drop of blood that was shed for you with $1 billion. Can you say amen? Freely you receive. Freely give. True worshipers are not in it for the fortune. They're not in it for the fame. They may receive a love offering, but true worshipers are not in it for the television. They're not in it for Vegas. Can you say amen? They're not interested in whether it's a large audience or a small audience, because the only audience they really want to please is God, who is looking down to see the heart. And the best worship service you'll ever get in is one where the person that is doing the worshiping forgets about you and gets beyond themselves and just worships God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. The choir began to sing because it was already told to them, sing this particular song that y'all have picked out to sing, joyous song. And Penny Marshall says, director, you know, action! And the choir begins to sing. Well, they're singing a worship song, and they're not performing for the camera midway through the song. They're singing about Jesus. They're singing about the one who died for them who know Him as their Savior. They don't care that they're on a movie set now. They don't care that cameras are running. There's a lady standing here watching that don't know what in the heck is going on, nor care. Amen. They're singing the high praises of God. Amen. And they get lost in worship. And they sing it through. It comes to the end. Penny Marshall hollers, cut. Guy clicks down this thing. The cameras go off. And the choir is singing. Really into it singing. And she says again, cut! Now this is not in a religious periodical. This is coming from a secular magazine. And they're still singing praise to God. They're praising Him. They're not aware of a director. They're not aware of movie cameras spinning. They're not aware of lights and all the distracting things. They started worshiping God. They began to focus on Jesus, and none of these things bothered them. They just kept right on singing. And then they began to get in the spirit. It started scaring Penny Marshall. And Whitney Houston was standing beside of her, who had a background in the faith and knows what's happening. And she knows what praise does. You know, it's a scripture that says he inhabits the praises of his people. Or it was Denzel. It was Denzel standing next to her. And you know what Denzel turned and said? Because he sensed the presence of God and revered that presence and wanted her to back off and quit trying to stop them until they were done. Forget the movie stuff. Forget the time. Forget all this stuff. The schedule. He said, if you don't want him here, don't invite him. In other words, he's blessing them because they're worshiping him. He was invited because of their praise. If you want me, if you really want me to help you, to heal you, to deliver you, to touch you, invite me. Worship me, honor me, reverence my presence, saith God, and I will come with healing in my wings, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? Glory to God, hallelujah. Isn't God good today? Isn't God good today? Isn't God good today? Isn't God good today? Hallelujah, I said, isn't God good today? Glory to his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's get into this message. Let's become true worshipers. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know this song, let's sing it. Praise God, hallelujah. Hende barosha, kasalabarite, isholoboko sandarabasa, likarala, le shalabaratira, shalamaneti. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, bring it right up. Hallelujah, you know this song. Lord, we love you today.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you all of my days.